For the ones who work hard to ensure their crew can always go the extra mile, and the ones who get in early so everyone can go home on time, there's Grainger, offering professional-grade supplies backed by product experts so you can quickly and easily find what you need. Plus, you can count on access to a committed team ready to go the extra mile for you. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
We keep the football talk going here from Pro Football Hall of Famer Robert Brazil joining us in studio to our weekly chat with Browns beat reporter from BrownZone.com, Scotty Petrak, joining us here on the Kenny and JT Show. Thanks for joining us, Scotty. How are you, bud?
I'm good. How are you doing?
Hey, we're great. Before we get to Browns tonight with the second and third round picks, Scotty, even though they didn't have a pick yesterday, I'm sure you watched to see what everybody else in the division did and the other picks. What did you take away or what surprised you from the first round yesterday?
Well, you know, it didn't really surprise me because, you know, in the mock draft I had five quarterbacks going in the top 12, but still, just to see, I think it wound up being six.
Yeah.
And Michael Penix, I did not understand what the Falcons are doing there after signing Kirk Cousins and all that money. It doesn't make sense to me. So I was struck by that and just the volume of quarterbacks, receivers, and tackles, right? I think they added up to like 18 of their, more than that, maybe 21 of the 32 picks, right? So it was so concentrated, I just don't remember seeing anything like that.
Yeah, I looked at that too, and it was eight offensive tackles, six quarterbacks, so what is that, 14, right?
14,
and then the
seven receivers.
So, like you said, 21 out of 32. So what's that tell you about the game right now, right? What positions are in demand or what positions are important? Then you add edge rusher on defense, right?
Yeah, and a couple of corners, right? And all of a sudden you got a first round. You know, I think part of it, it's cyclical, right? The defense wasn't as, I think the defenders weren't considered as strong this year.
Right.
At the top of the draft, right? There's so many good receivers, so many good tackles. But it does, I think the overall thing is, you're right, Kenny, that it speaks to the importance of offense, the importance of passing game, right? It's the guy throwing, the guy catching, and the guy blocking for the guy throwing.
Scotty, what team besides the Penix move did you really shake your head at, either saying, boy, that's confusing, that's dumb, or damn, they got a steal?
That's interesting. That's a good question, Kenny. Buffalo continued to trade down at the end was a bit of a surprise to me. It feels like they need a receiver, and they let a couple teams move ahead of them to take receivers, and I think receivers are a big upside. Now, does that mean a trade's coming for one of the 49ers guys?
Oh.
Or maybe T. Higgins, right? I've seen that rumbling that maybe that's what Buffalo's thinking.
Okay.
But if they don't get, you know, if they don't get a receiver, a veteran receiver at the top of the second round, then I question why they moved down. The way Minnesota handled its picks, right, they made a trade up early, like months ago or a month and a half ago, I think, and then sat there and was able to get J.J., but then traded up again to take an edge rusher out of Alabama. You know, Kwesi Adofo-Mensa, who used to be here under Andrew Berry, he's a GM, really smart guy, but like, he's all in. Like, they don't have many picks left today or left the rest of today or rest of this draft. They don't have many picks next year, and it just seemed a little peculiar to spend as much draft capital as he did, you know, to not have to really move up then for a quarterback and I think to take an edge rusher later in a draft.
Scotty, we've seen a change into the guard right now in value by position, and by value, I mean the monetary value because of what Brock Purdy's been able to do at San Francisco. I mean, if these teams are, I think they're grasping at straws trying to get the next quarterback, or are they just trying to get the next cheap quarterback so they can afford a $100 million wide receiver or make their team better?
Well, that's an interesting thought, JT. I think there's a little bit of both. I think when you look at how the Bears handled their situation with Justin Fields, that was certainly part of it. You know, I think if it wasn't about, okay, Fields is going to be due a bunch of money coming up, right, starting with that fifth-year option in 2025 that the Steelers just declined. If he and Caleb Williams were making the same money, then I think you could have seen the number one pick traded.
Mm-hmm.
But Caleb Williams is not making nearly the amount of money that Justin Fields would make. And I think that's a huge part of it. We've seen these teams mm-hmm. across the league be able to spend big money on the rest of the roster if you can save some on quarterback. So I think that's part of it. But I think in general, it's you need a quarterback, and the easiest way to find one is at the top half of the draft. Now, it's still a crapshoot, but that's where teams think they can find the best quarterback.
Scott, we keep hearing all these different stories, rumors, whatever you want to call it. What is the deal with Nick Chubb moving forward, if you had to guess, with the Cleveland Browns? I mean, and I know we've heard both. They're going to maybe address running back in the draft. Maybe they're not. Maybe they've already done it through free agency. But what do you think in your gut telling you about Nick Chubb moving forward?
Well, you're not going to like this answer probably, but we just don't know. You know, I mean, he started running within the last couple of weeks on land. So it's hard to tell how that knee's going to be, right, 5 months from now, 4.5 months from now when the season starts. They reduced the contract. He can make it back in incentives, saved a bunch of cap space. But for Nick to have I think the base is like $2.5 million. For him to have that kind of contract, he knows that the knee is a huge question mark and that nobody else is going to give him guaranteed money either, right? So it made sense to be here. He wanted to be here. I can't say with any certainty that Nick Chubb's going to be okay at any point, let alone week one. So that's why they signed Dante Foreman, right? That's why they add Nyheim Hines, and that's why they might draft a guy, right? Not only is it, a question of Nick Chubb this year, which is certainly legitimate, but regardless, this would be the last year of his contract, and he's getting closer to 30. I don't think you can assume that Nick Chubb's going to be here beyond 2024, even if that's what everybody involved wants.
Scott Petrak is our guest here on the Kenny and JT Show, talking NFL draft round one in the books last night. Browns did not have a pick because of the Deshaun Watson trade. Scott, just so I trust you more than anybody, next year they have a first-round pick, correct?
That's correct.
So this is the last year of the Deshaun Watson first-round trades they gave away to the Texans.
Correct. And I got to double-check this before I write it, but I think the fourth-rounder today that they don't have is the last pick of that trade. They wind up giving a net of 5. They gave 6 and got 1 back. So a net of 5. I think it ends with the first rounder yesterday and the fourth rounder tomorrow. And then, who knows? They could always trade that first rounder. But I think when a franchise goes a couple years without one, and it's been 3 for the Browns now, you like having that pick, right? So yeah. I'd be surprised if Andrew Berry just doesn't hang on to it, or it would take maybe special circumstances for him not to keep that first rounder next year, at least until the draft starts, right?
All right, so let's go to round two tonight. Pick number 54 overall, which I believe is a 22nd pick in the second round. Based on the run of wide receivers, quarterbacks, and offensive linemen, did that help the Browns maybe in getting a player that could fall to them at 54 today?
You know what, Kenny? I had somebody ask me that earlier, and I think it's too far away. Like, if they were drafting at 37, right,
yeah,
I think you can make that correlation. I don't know if you can at 54. I know a couple receivers that I thought might be, or the experts thought, I don't know, You look at all the mock drafts, you look at guys' draft boards, could have been around at 54, were taken at the bottom of that first round, Xavier Worthy and I think it was Xavier Leggett, right, from South Carolina.
Right.
People had mentioned them in the mid of the second round, right? So they're off the board. That means, there's still other guys available. But it depends what the Browns are looking at. Yes, defense got pushed down. I think it helped. I think the quarterbacks and receivers helped teams like Cincinnati and Pittsburgh that were looking to go offensive line, right? Now, a lot of offensive tackles went, but, when you have all those receivers and all those quarterbacks, that pushes even some of those guys down. So, in Baltimore, right, they got, I think, a third corner. Well, there might have been a third corner go faster in most years, except we had that, the wealth of the offensive guys like we talked about. So I'm not sure it'll have an impact on 54. I think the Browns could go anywhere at 54. I really do. Probably anywhere but quarterback. So I'm not sure that helped, that mattered. And, they're still in play to trade that pick too, Kenny.
All right. So in your opinion, though, Scotty, all right, and we'll, let's talk about two different avenues they could travel down. Best player available overall, regardless of position, or the other avenue is best player available based on need. Which way do you think Andrew Berry is thinking?
I think he's best player available, period. But I'm going to add one caveat. It has to be a quote-unquote premium position, right? I don't think they take, and who knows, he could do anything, because they're in a good spot, right? We've talked about the roster's in a good spot, and I don't think there is a glaring need. Having said that, you know, I don't think they take a safety, right? They got a couple safeties. It's not a super premium position. I don't think they take one at 54. Guard, I think they need to get younger guard, but I don't think they take one at 54, right? They got two starters right now. So, but if it's, could he take a defensive end? Sure. They don't need one, but he could take one, right? I think the same thing about D-tackle. You can argue they don't need a receiver. So I think overall it's best player available.
Is it deep enough of a draft to look for cornerback and maybe start thinking about moving on from Craig Newsome?
Yeah, I don't think it's a great corner class, but, you know, they've been good at drafting corners, right? They got Martin Emerson Jr. in 2022. They got Cameron Mitchell last year. Both those guys have been good. Obviously, they drafted Greg Newsome. They could do that, but I think they'd have to get the right price for Newsome, and I just don't think the right price is out there. I don't know what that right price is, right? Would they trade him for a second-rounder? A guy at, you know, draft pick at the top of the second round? Probably. Right, because then you're going to get that guy on a good contract, and Greg's going to start to make money in 2025. But I don't think that pick, I don't think that offer is coming. So I fully expect them to stick with Greg Newsome, and I think they're happy to do that because that gives them three solid corners. But again, it's a premium position. Could they take another corner because they know that they're going to have to lose probably Newsome next year or the year after? Yeah, they could do that.
Scotty, defensive tackle to me, if I'm looking at potential fits, right, at 54 and who's left, it looks like that's a pretty deep position, and there could be some guys there like Chris Jenkins from Michigan, whose dad played in the NFL, right? So there's DNA there. Michael Hall from Ohio State, the kid from LSU. Is that a position you could see them targeting there at 54?
I certainly could. Mason Smith, the guy from LSU, okay. I really like him. Talked to him at the combine. He's my favorite of those three guys you mentioned. I certainly think that Kenny, because they have depth at D tackle, but it's veteran depth, right? Maurice Hurst II is 28. Dalvin Tomlinson's 30. Quentin Jefferson's 31. Shelby Harris is 32, I think. So a lot of those guys up front, like what I named, four of the first five guys are either 30 or close to being 30. The only young guy, Siaki Ika, who we didn't see much at all as a rookie. So could they go young there and add a guy that they might be difference maker, whether it's this year or a year or two from now? I certainly think so. To me, it's D-tackle, receiver, backup tight end. I think those are, to me, if I were putting a priority on it, those would be the three positions I would look for.
Scott Petrak, our guest, BrownZone.com. Check him out on a daily basis if you're a Browns fan, especially now with draft coverage, second round, third round tonight, and then rounds 4, 5, 6, and 7 tomorrow. Scotty, what about the third round pick? There are some needs, but I've got it, and this is just me. Please tell me if I'm totally off base. I think second round pick has a chance to play this year. I think after that, unless it's special teams, they're more for the future. Do you agree with that or no?
I mean, I get that thinking, Kenny. I think that's an okay way to say it. They don't have any hard and fast rules, right?
Yeah.
You know, Ika was a third-round pick last year, didn't play. Martin Emerson was a third-round pick the year before and played a bunch as a rookie. So, you know, obviously your expectations are higher for 54 than even, whatever, I guess 85. I mean, I get what you're saying. Luckily for them, I don't think they have to force anybody into action at any position. But if a guy's ready, right, DeJuan Jones was ready last year, and he had to be ready quicker than anybody expected with the Jack Conklin injury in the opener, but he's played right away, right? So it's circumstances, it's each individual, but your point's taken that once you get probably past, you know, midway through the third round, then it's hit or miss, and there's more development than immediate impact.
Hey, Scotty, that's interesting you mentioned that, too, because I wanted to ask a question. We keep asking about all these injuries, and how's Deshaun Watson's shoulder? How is Nick Chubb's knee? What about Jones, Conklin, and Wills? How is their progression coming along?
Yeah, I mean, we haven't seen anybody on the field yet.
Okay.
You know, they keep saying that they're each working at their own pace because it's all different injuries. You know, Jones and Wills were MCLs. Conklin was an ACL. Conklin's was a couple months earlier. So, you know, I would expect to see maybe Jones and Wills at some point before minicamp or in minicamp, and then maybe you don't see Conklin until training camp in July. You know, that's just me kind of speculating here. They think all three are going to be available, you know, for the start of the season. That's the expectations. But, and I'll tell you what, guys, that's an interesting position. I assume that it's going to be Wills and Jones, like, long-term. But Wills is entering the last year of his rookie contract, and they haven't extended him yet. Could I see a scenario? And I kind of was dismissing this for a long time and then have started to think, well, maybe I'm wrong on this. You know, could they go tackle at 54 and then kind of let that guy sit behind Wills for a year? Like, that's not out of the realm. I like Wills. We talked about it many times. I like Wills better than most people. I think the Browns like it better than most people. But maybe they've decided that's not where they're going to spend a bunch of money, and they try to get younger there.
I don't think you can go wrong drafting any offensive lineman in this draft, especially at 54 or what's the second pick? 80 what?
85.
You know what? Take as many as you can. Strengthen numbers. Let's move forward. In non-draft questions right now, Scott Petrak, a couple of things come to mind. If it's not draft-related, it's either uniform-related or stadium-related. We know we're changing face masks. I'm telling you right now, you're going to see some uniforms next year. You're not going to have any idea who you're playing. But I want to go back to this story that broke yesterday. The Chicago Bears are going to spend over $4 billion on a dome stadium. Does that effectively put the Browns on the clock?
I don't know if it changes anything. I think maybe it changes the expectations for the cost of the, you know, if they do build a dome, if that's the way they decide to go. You know, things are more expensive in Chicago. It's on the lakefront there. It would be in Brook Park here, likely, most likely. You know, but we're probably looking at $3 billion for a dome stadium in Cleveland. And, you know, and to me, we've talked about it. That's a huge factor, right? I mean, you can say, oh, we need a dome. That's real money coming from real people and real tax dollars and the Haslams, right? So I think that part of it is significant.
All right, Scotty, this front office, how do you think they have done since they've taken over? Because somebody asked me, where was I? I was doing an event the other night, and they asked me what I thought of the front office, and are they screwing up the salary cap and all this? And I said, no, that's where Andrew Barry, he's good at anything. That was his specialty, right? The salary cap, so don't worry about that part, but some of the draft picks, okay, you could question. How do you think they've done so far with their drafts?
I think it's hit or miss. You know, I'd probably say, you know, B minus, maybe. Okay. Yeah, I think they've gotten better, and maybe, you know, who knows? That could be luck, right? It's just, you know, you miss early and then you hit late. Emerson, we talked about him a couple times. Good pick. DeJuan Jones looks like he's a good pick. JOK, right, started to play better last year. Grant Delpit started to play better last year, gets the extension. JOK was a Pro Bowler, right? So you see guys they drafted are starting to develop and get those second contracts. And that's important, right? Because there were some misses early. And, you know, we mentioned Wills as their first pick. You know, they missed Anthony Schwartz is a big miss, right?
Oof.
There's been misses. I think there's been more hits lately that make me feel better about the drafts. I think their philosophy is right. The more picks you have, the better off you are, because I don't think, regardless of who is evaluating the talent, it's really difficult to do, and there's a lot of crapshoot involved in the draft. So I think they appreciate that and realize that and act accordingly. And then outside of the draft, yeah, I think he's been good trading. I think he's had good and bad in free agency, but I think, you know, lately it's been better in free agency. Those early, you know, the Austin Hooper, that was a bad signing when he signed him early. But, you know, you look at the roster right now, and it's hard for me to argue that Andrew Berry hasn't done a good job, because I think this is one of the better rosters in the NFL.
I think they get a bye. I think it all hinges on how Deshaun Watson plays, because you can't look at them and say they screwed up the draft. We haven't had a first-round draft pick since Greg Newsom in, what was it, 2021, right, Scotty?
Right. And you're right. I mean, you got to factor in the Watson trade, right? And that's been a disaster so far. I mean, there's no getting around that. Yet they were still 11-6 and made the playoffs and have a good roster. So I think they've done a pretty good job. I think they've made mistakes, but I think they've covered for those mistakes pretty well.
That's a fair way of putting it, I think. All right, so when we come away from tonight's draft, Scotty Petch, I don't know if you did full seven-round mock draft, just the first round, or if you did just the Browns draft picks.
Right.
What do you think they come? What are your projections for tonight's second round, third round?
I think they trade out of 54.
Wow. Wait a second. Hold on. You didn't bring that up from here. Okay.
Why do you think trade down.
All right. Why do you think that's a possibility?
Because he's done it the last couple of years, right? One of them was during the draft. Last year was before the draft, the Elijah Moore trade. They don't have a fourth rounder. I think they want to get a fourth rounder. It's a big time to wait between 85 and 156, I think, is the third and fifth rounders they have right now. I think they want to fill that gap. And the only or best way to do that is trading out of 54. So, and they don't need to take a guy at 54. So I think they trade back, and they still wind up making two picks tonight. And if I had to guess, I'd say one of them is a tight end, and the other one's either a D-tackle or a receiver.
Interesting. Wow, Scotty, thinking like Andrew Berry. I got to get me more draft capital, man. All right, real quick, Scotty, because we have to keep an eye on the AFC North, right?
Yeah.
So what did you think of the picks made by the Bengals, the Steelers, the Ravens yesterday? They all had first-round picks.
Yeah, you know, to me, the Ravens was typical Ravens. They were able to sit there and get a guy at a position, at a good position that they were looking for. You know, they get Wiggins, the corner out of Clemson. I think he's a third corner taken. They really like him. They need corners. I mean, that defense is great, right? But I thought their corners were getting old. They had some injuries there last year. So, you know, assuming he's what they think, I think that's a help for them. And then, you know, the first two AFC North picks were offensive linemen. And I think that's somewhat symbolic, right, of the AFC North. You know, Cincinnati's an interesting one because they have a couple starting tackles. This guy's raw. He might sit for a while. And then Pittsburgh, I thought Pittsburgh would go receiver, but they've also had some offensive line issues lately. So, you know, neither of them surprised me. I wasn't wowed by any of them. But, again, nobody picked in the first half of their first round.
See, looking at the Steelers, my theory is, and we were talking about this earlier on our show, the Cleveland Guardians know pitching, so they can wait and get pitching later because they think they know it better than anybody or it can develop them, right?
Sure.
That's why I think the Steelers, you could see them in the second or third round going wide receiver to make up for the Deontay Johnson, you know, move because their biggest weakness, and I thought they got a steal with the kid from Washington, and he fell into their lap yesterday. So I thought all three teams in the North did very well.
I see what you're saying, Teddy. And you know, the Steelers have been connected to everybody, right? Brandon Ayuk, and so maybe they got something up their sleeve too. But and you know the Steelers better than I do, but they've struggled to solidify that offensive line.
Yep.
So I understand them devoting that pick there.
Scotty, you're the best. We always appreciate the time you make for us. Enjoy the draft tonight, and we'll recap it with you next week when we chat with you. All right?
Sounds good. Thanks, fellas.